I was on my way to my ancestral home, where all my ancestors were, started off in, and I visited my grandfather's grave. He died 46 years ago, so that was very nice to just be, you know. My grandfather never met me, you know, but just for me to acknowledge that he's a significant part of my life. You know, I heard good things about him, that he was a good man, that loved his wife. And whenever he used to get paid, back in the days when they used to give you cash for your pay, he used to come and give the cash to my grandmother, and then he would wait for my grandmother to give him money to go out, you know, so that doesn't happen these days. You know, so good. And that's where I got my name from, Stephen Msiwa Magwenzi. And so it was a very special time. Then, of course, I got to see where our family land is. And so that was just great experience. So I thank the Lord for that. But now I'm back. You know, I'm back, and I guess back to earth. It felt like I was in heaven, but look, I think that you've come at a time, and I just want to thank Mr. Donovan for speaking last week, a very good, timely message on the body of Christ, and that we are all part of one body. And of course, Pastor Charlie this morning spoke about one church, two locations, and there's something significant about being one, doing things together, just being part of God's body, and just like Donovan gave the example of, you know, the hand and, you know, and the feet, everything has got to be flowing in the one direction because we're all part of God's body. But a significant thing about that is the recognition that each and every one of us has been given a gift, and it's up to us to cultivate the gift that God has placed in each of our lives. And the reason why these gifts were given was so that we all just don't look cool when we stand up on stage or when we speak to each other after church. The reason why we've been given gifts is so that we can help one another. If you can quickly turn to, where is this? Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says in verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And then it goes on to describe the different gifts we're given. But I like the last verse, number 11. And it says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Therefore, what that tells me, and to carry on what Mr. Donovan was saying, is that it is incumbent on each and every one of us to find out what our gift is and to actually ask the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what is my gift that I can use to help all my brothers and sisters in the church? Amen? And so thank you for that, Mr. Donovan. Well done. Please put your hands together for Mr. Donovan. Well, this week we're starting a new series called Kingdom Generosity. And the reason why we talk about kingdom generosity is because God, by his own nature, is a giver. All we have is from the Lord. And so he sets the blueprint for generosity in our lives. And we will discover as we go through this series, we will discover what kingdom generosity looks like, that will cause us to have a generous giving lifestyle without feeling that each time somebody comes and just talks to you about being generous, that your arm is being twisted. Because it is quite easy that the moment somebody gets up on stage and starts to talk about the tithe and the offering, you start to feel a bit uncomfortable, and then it feels like your arm is being twisted to give. But we are not like that. We want to get to understand that what God did when he gave Christ gave Christ to die on the cross for our sins, that the out, what happens on the inside of us is that we cannot help but to be generous. We cannot help but want to give everything that we have to the Lord because of what he has done for us. And so a kingdom is a country or state ruled by a king or a queen. It is their place of dominion or domain. Now, the kingdom, like we know that democracy is described as of the people, by the people, for the people. Whereas in a kingdom, it's for the king, by the king, for the king. It's of the king, by the king, for the king. And so kingdom generosity starts with kingdom management of the resources that we have. And so if we manage our resources well, then we are in a position to be generous givers. So we may desire to be people that are generous and want to give, but if we're not managing the resources that we have, then unfortunately, in as much as you would like to give, you won't have the ability to do so. And so I recall, you know, now that I've just been on a trip, and I hope my family is not watching this, is that, you know, as you go, you've got some responsibilities that you have, and as you, so you go and you visit this one, and so it's the gratuitous thing to give them a little gift. Now, we know that for those of us that are African in this place, we know that there is a black tax. There is a tax that you pay just for being African, and this is to your family. And so you are just, you end up just giving all the time. And I recall when my father died 14 years ago, and all of a sudden I just assumed a level of responsibility that I was always a responsible guy and shared what I had with my extended family. But all of a sudden I felt this burden of responsibility, and I was just giving to everybody. Somebody would call, bang, I was giving. Up until my wife said, look, I know you're giving, but can you see that your own kids, you know, don't have much? And I was a very upset man when she said that. I didn't like it, that, come on, don't you understand the responsibilities that I have? And fast forward a few years later, I'm talking to Mr. Marius. He's, you know, one of my mentors, persons that I would talk to about stuff. And I was explaining all this responsibility stuff. Now, he's a white man, and he said, look, my friend, you have to have a budget for your giving. You cannot just be a blank check where everybody just feels that each time there's a need that comes, you're just constantly meeting that need. And so Mr. Marius then, you know, put it in my right mind that, yes, you're supposed to help, but also you got to realize there are limits to what you do. Amen? Yeah. And so, of course, they became a giving budget. And so what we do and what we understand is that, and the title of this message today is Kingdom Management. What we have, it all starts with how we manage our resources. Now, I believe that there is a part for God to play in our lives. There is a part for miracles where God will come in and do things that only he can do. But I also believe that there's a part that we have to play as well, where we are practical and we manage our resources. And whilst I love miracles and I welcome them, they cancel management. If we are always those people that are just constantly waiting for the miracles of God, what it does is that it cancels our responsibility, which is the management of the resources that we've been given. Whilst miracles are great, you see, if we are constantly in the mindset, oh, Lord, I need you to perform a miracle in my life, you see, we desire gain without work. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. So I guess the question I have today is that, am I, whenever things of money are talked about, am I financially embarrassed? Do you start to squirm in your seat? Because what happens, you see, is that as we begin to interest rates, inflation across the world is starting to go up. Therefore, interest rates are going up. And so people with that have got mortgages and that owe stuff, there's obviously an impact that is going to come upon your life. And they're predicting that people, families, there's going to be mortgage stress that's going to come. And so we face real life issues whenever there's money involved. And so when hard times come, what they do is that they expose whether I was a good manager or a bad manager. And so what happens to you will expose whether you're a good manager or a bad manager. And I can clearly recall in 2008, when the global financial crisis hit, and I just changed jobs in the November, I think it must have been November 2008. And so 2009, then I went overseas, 2009, come back into my job. I had worked there for about a few weeks before I left. And when I came into the office that day, I saw some guy with suits talking to my boss. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that doesn't look right. What's going on here? And so eventually we were all called in and they said, look, we are now going under administration. And then the panic set in because now I'm concerned that something, how am I going to provide for my family if I lose my job? And so I remember going back to the place that I had left a few months earlier to say, you know, I remember going into the CEO's office, my previous boss's office, and just asking to see if I could get my old job back. And I remember coming out of that meeting, I felt this shame, this embarrassment, because it just was so off, you know, going back like you're groveling, you know, for your own job, you're begging for a job. And I don't know about you, is that when you get to, there are times when you can get to situations where you have to go and ask somebody, especially somebody that you don't like, for money, for support. It is not the best feeling to be in a position where all of a sudden you cannot support, well, not that you can't support, but it might be a bit of a struggle, you know, for the next few months for your family. And so the question is that, are we financially embarrassed? Whenever we think about our finances, do we have a smile on our face? Or do we have a growl or smirk? Because we know that we are financially exposed. We cannot give. In as much as you want to be a generous person, if you're struggling yourself, you do not have the ability to be generous. And this is why I feel that whatever we do, it's always going to be managing, and everybody gets a different income in this place. And it doesn't matter, you could be getting a hell of a lot of money or not a lot of money, but it's about managing the resources that you have been given. And so the principle of the kingdom of God is management. And God wants a manager. If you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. And so this is a discourse, or this is what happened after the Lord, he created the heavens and the earth. And so after that was done, it says that in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, this is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Could you underline in your Bible or in your app where it says, there were no people to cultivate the soil? Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. So after God did what he, after God created man, he put him in the garden. The divine strategy of God is that we have dominion through work. Remember when he created all the birds and all the animals, he then said that when he created us in his image to be creators just like he was, he then said, you will have dominion over these things. The key thing as we read from this scripture, he said that neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the ground. What God is saying to us is that even though he had set dominion over us, there was nobody put in place to manage these things. And the divine goal of mankind is the extension of the culture of heaven on earth, and that requires management. God is looking for managers. And I've got a definition here from Miles Monroe about what management is. Management is the effective, efficient, correct, and timely use of another person's property and resources for the purpose for which they were delegated, with a view of producing the expected added value back to the person. So I'll read it one more time. Management is the effective, efficient, correct, and timely use of another person's property and resources for the purpose for which they were delegated, with a view of producing the expected added value back to the person. Close quote, Dr. Miles Monroe. The implication of us being given management over resources is that we don't own the resources. The resources that we've been given all belong to God 100%. And the implication of this definition is that there is an expectation of God is that when you bring back the resources, it's supposed to be better and have more value. So we're not just expected to keep things the same. Things are supposed to get better, and they're supposed to have better value. And so kingdom management always checks whether you can be trusted with other people's stuff before you are given your own. If you want stuff from the Lord, you're expecting, God, I just pray that you give me a lot of stuff. The blueprint throughout all scripture is everybody was always, the way that the Lord works or God works is that, can you be trusted with other people's property before I give you your own? And that is the question for you and I. Can we be trusted with other people's property? How are we in the workplace? Are we reading our Bibles during work time and say, Lord, I just want to spend some time with you, but you're actually on somebody else's clock? The reality, you see, is that management is, that's, will, can you be trusted with somebody else's property? Because the way, if you can be trusted with somebody else's property, guess what you're going to be given? You're going to be given your own. Joseph had to be trusted with other people's property before he then was given rule of his own stuff. Even though, yes, it was Pharaoh's, but he had to be trusted. And all the way through his life, you could tell that God, there were tests that were coming about, can you be trusted with other people's property? The parable of the talents tells us that the Lord is very serious about management, because the ones that managed better were given more responsibility. And so when it comes to our finances and we're constantly in a state where we're thinking, oh, Lord, I want more money, I guess the question is, do we have a money problem or a management problem? Can I manage the financial resources I have been given? It could be $200 a week, but can I manage that? as a church, as we're desiring to see more of the Lord move in our community and that we have greater influence, can we manage the people we have now? And that is the question for you and I. Can we manage the people that we have now? And so before we start asking the Lord for more, the question we have to ask ourselves is, can I manage what I have now? Am I managing the things that have been entrusted to me now well? All of us, what God wants is that He wants us to be economists. He wants us to be people that economize. And an economist or people that economize are they get the maximum out of the minimum. They get the most with the least. And we have to understand the value of what we already have. Do I understand the value of what has been given to me? If I can cook or if I can bake, how many times do I use the oven every week? Am I eating out every day? And the oven is nice and cold. It's complaining because nobody's using it. Understand the value of the gifts that God has given you. That you can be a very good cook. You can have been given these special gifts that the Lord has given. You could bake and sell. You could cook and sell and make extra money. How many of us have got ridiculous amounts of clothes in our wardrobes that I always used to buy clothes that were a size smaller in anticipation of the weight that I would lose? The problem is that the weight went the other way. How many pieces of clothing or stuff do we have or furniture that we have that we no longer use? Could we consider selling some of that stuff? Because that's going to bring in a bit of resources that we might need. This is about understanding the value of what has been given to us. And I recall listening to an interview, this is now in 2019, and a guy named Trick Daddy, and that's this is a real person. Trick Daddy says, if you have more in your garage and in your wardrobe than in your bank account, then perhaps you're a fool. Now, when Trick said this, I had more in my wardrobe. And that touched me deep because it got me to think, wow, this guy is saying the absolute truth. So here I am living my life. I didn't have a money problem. I had a management problem. One of the things we have to understand as a people in our lives as we're asking God for more is that God protects His resources from bad management. God withholds His resources from bad management. And God will not allow growth where there is bad management. And so the question I have for us today is, will God answer a prayer requested by anyone who is a bad manager? And further to that is that, and of course, if you're a young person here and you think, well, this doesn't apply to me. My parents are doing all the managing. And if there's no food in the house, I just tend to look to them to say, you guys are bad managers. Where's the food? But this will also begin to apply to your life. This is something you can take and say and begin to say, Lord, help me to become a good manager. Perhaps, and this is just a perhaps, my answer to prayer is regulated by my capacity to manage. My answer to prayer is regulated by my capacity to manage. I'm believing for 10,000, but I cannot manage the 1,000. So guess what God is going to send my way? $1,000. Maybe, I mean. Because the truth is that he is going to understand that if I give you what you're asking for, you're not going to be able to manage it properly. And so now I guess I have to ask myself, how do I become a good manager? Because that's really what I want to become, a good manager. And very quickly, lessons from the tithe about how to become a good manager. Tithing and offering is God's management program. After all, 100% of everything belongs to God. And so why should you tithe? It's about your will, your discipline to put it aside, and that's what God is after. Your will and the discipline to put the tithe aside, that is what God is after. And so tithing helps you with accountability. It helps you with discipline, bring all the tithe, honesty, only God knows and sees. And you know what the key thing is, that managers must be honest, diligent. You work at it. You work at bringing your tithe so you don't steal the 10%. And you're faithful. And there's you're trustworthy. God has to trust me every time. And this is the thing that helps us to become a good manager. If we're accountable, if we're disciplined, we're honest, we're diligent, we're faithful, and we're trustworthy. And I'll just get the team to come back up as we finish. We want to be those people that are, we want to be those people that are faithful with the 10, but careful with the 90. If I faithfully bring my tithe every week, which is the 10%, but I am not careful with the 90% that has been entrusted to me, then all I will be is a broke tither. I'll say that one more time. If I faithfully bring the 10% every week, I'm making sure that I bring my tithe, but then I am irresponsible and not careful with the 90%, then all I'll ever be a broke tither. So we want to be those people that are faithful with the 10, but careful with the 90. That we manage that 90% that the Lord has entrusted to us well. Because this is about, if I can't handle the $100 that God is giving me, I could ask for 1,000, I could ask for 10,000. In fact, we parents are like gods, little g's, because you never give your 10-year-old child or your 12-year-old child $1,000. Never. You probably give them 10 bucks or 5. It starts off with a 5, and then you graduate. And as they become more responsible, guess what you do? You trust them with more. The same thing, the way that the Lord works with us. If all of a sudden you find that you give your child a 5, and of course it's good for kids to learn their money mistakes when they're young and get it out of their system, because it's not a lot of money. It's okay if a child squanders 10 bucks, squanders 20, whilst they're still young, because you don't want to be making these mistakes when you're in your 25, when you're 30, when you're 40, where you just keep squandering money. So God entrusts us. He starts off small. And as we learn to be trustworthy with the small, He will then keep adding and adding and adding and adding. Let's stand this morning.